thank you for listening to this episode, our fourth episode of this podcast, Be Happy and Achieve Your Goals. Today we'll be talking about how sometimes we overblow problems out of proportion. So how many times have your day been ruined because the blouse that you were planning on using was dirty and you forgot to wash it? Or maybe your car had a flat tire and you are late for your final exam. Or you got mad at your spouse because you got home and you're hungry and the meat was burned. Or you get upset because the food that you ordered at a restaurant was not served in a way that meet your expectations. So here is my suggestion. Next time you encounter any of those situations or any others that could trigger you in a negative response, take a moment and breathe. And then give thanks that you have that inconvenience. Cemeteries are full of people that are not experiencing those inconveniences. And then give thanks because you have that blouse and many others that you could use. And then think about those millions of people around the world that have no clothes. Give thanks for the flat tire. That means that you have a car. Do you know how many children walk every day miles to go to school on an empty stomach? Think that you have meat to eat and that at least your wife is trying to cook for you. In this side of the world, we have lost that sense of what is really important. We let the simplest things throw us into a storm of emotions. It's like we don't grow up with the puberty period. We still think like teenagers. We live in a constant state of tantrum. So we need to get things into perspective and give the importance that each situation really deserves. Unfortunately, the problems that we face are not all that simple. Some people are facing bigger obstacles, the terminal illness of a child, the death of a family member. And the most important thing when we are facing those problems is to acknowledge that there are certain things that are beyond our control. But when facing an illness, we need to fight from a place of positivism and desire to overcome the health situation. So most people, when they hear the word cancer or leukemia or coronary disease or kidney failure, they automatically receive those words as a death sentence. And not only the patients, but also the family. And that is the wrong approach. That mindset is like taking off your gloves and giving up before you climbing into the fighting ring and giving the victory to your opponent. There are medical studies, many of them published in the NCBI, which is the National Center for Biotechnology Information. So in that website, they have several medical studies confirming that a positive state of mind has a direct impact in the recuperation of an ill person. There are also studies that confirm that doing yoga, tai chi, meditation, and other forms of alternative treatment tremendously improve the quality of life of patients suffering from chronic pain, coronary artery disease, and substantially reduce side effects of chemotherapy treatments and radiation on cancer patients. It is a reality that everybody will die. So what really matters is the quality of life you are living, up to the last moment. So even if these alternative activities may not cure you, if they make you feel better, then why not do it? Many people think that the help received by those alternative activities are the result of the placebo effect. I'm sure that most of you know what the placebo effect is, but in case you don't, the placebo effect is basically when you experience a benefit from a medication that you are taking that doesn't have the active ingredient. So that's basically like if you have a headache and I give you a candy and I tell you, hey, this is Tylenol, it will take your headache away. And you take that medication or you take that candy thinking it is Tylenol and that will have a positive effect on your headache, the headache will go away. And there is still a lot of debate in the scientific community. Some people say that the placebo is good, others say Others say that it's not. But I believe that the placebo effect is just proof that our brain can heal our bodies. There are cases in the medical literature of people healing from illnesses with no logical explanation. Many people attributed these healings to divine intervention, others to positive thinking, but the reality is that we don't know what really healed that person. But like everything in this universe, we have the opposite effect to the placebo, and that is the less popular brother, also known as the nocebo effect. And the nocebo effect basically would be taking the medication thinking it would have a bad effect on you, even though that medication doesn't have the active ingredient. And again, you take it and you experience that effect that you are expecting. Again, to me, it is just another way to prove the power of the brain, how we can influence our physiology. Either if you think you are healthy or you think you are sick, your body will respond to that thought. In the same way you can affect your body through your mind, in the same way you can impact your state of mind. If you can control your state of mind, then you have a great advantage of whatever problem you may be facing. Our minds magnify our problems by playing the worst scenarios that you could encounter. And the truth of the matter is that most of the times you don't encounter that scenario. So keep everything in perspective. Keep your priorities straight and do not let small things get out of proportion. I know that what I'm about to say might sound cliche, but I truly believe this. See problems as an opportunity to grow. Hardship is the beginning of every new opportunity. The biggest stories of people achieving huge things come from struggles. I'm not only talking about the financial growth or all the material things that people that comes from poor backgrounds have been able to achieve. I'm talking about spiritual growth. If you go back to the Bible, you see Joseph. Joseph was separated from his parents. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. He was a servant. He was incarcerated. But all of these problems made him the man that he was. He became the most important man of Egypt. Had not been for his brother's betrayal, he would have remained just a simple shepherd. We also have Nelson Mandela. He was the first black president of South Africa. And he became president when he was 77 years old. Mandela was in prison for 27 years for fighting for equality in his native country. He was offered conditional release many times, but he did not surrender. Prisons are not nice places, and Mr. Mandela was not a criminal. So when you're in prison and you know that you did something wrong, like, you kind of accept you deserve to be there, but when you are at a place for doing good, for trying to help your country and your fellow countrymen, and you have your children and your wife out there with no idea if they had dinner, if they were able to buy clothes, if your kids are going to school, if they are safe. I mean, many people would have just gave up and got out of the country with his family and tried to live a better life. And because of Mr. Mandela's resilience, he became an inspiration for many civil rights activists. And because of his level of commitment, Mr. Mandela was honored with a Nobel Prize. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was the man who brought the Hare Krishna movement to the West. And when he arrived to the United States, he went to the city of New York. And he was 70 years old. He was alone and he had no money. His disciples tell the story of how he stayed at an office building with no heat and not the optimal living conditions. His living conditions were as bad as as if he was living in the poorest areas of Calcutta. But the Swami did not yield. He faced all the challenges thrown his way. He kept moving forward. Despite of his age, he translated several books from the Sanskrit into English, and he traveled nonstop sharing his message. So in 10 years, he was able to do what many people are not able to do in an entire life. Every great story of success I have heard in my life come from people who have faced great struggles. Hardship is the beginning of a new opportunity. Years ago, a friend of mine came into my office. She was very sad because she wanted to have a child, but she hadn't been able to get pregnant. She had been married for over 5 years at that time, and even though her husband was fine with not having children, if they couldn't, she felt incomplete. She felt like she was letting her husband down. And so when she was talking to me, I remember that I had in my wallet this prayer card of St. Jude. And I gave it to her, and I told her, you know what? Pray to St. Jude and ask for his intercession with God, and we'll see. Have faith, and if God wants you to have a child, you will. Just think about it and visualize yourself having a child soon. And about a month later, she called me very excited to give me the news that she was pregnant. And I congratulated her and her husband, and everything was going fine. But and then I stopped talking to her because of, you know, the daily things that you have to do, and then you don't have time to talk to people and all of that. And several months later, I was in my office in the middle of a meeting, and my secretary came in and she told me, hey, you have a phone call. It's very urgent. And I took the phone call. It was my friend. Like, she was crying her eyes out, and my heart dropped. I thought that I feared the worst. But thanks God, I was wrong, and her baby was fine, was alive. So she was telling me how she went to the doctor to do some testing, and the doctor told her that there was a high possibility that her child had some type of physical deformity, and the doctor was giving her the option of aborting the child. So she told me that many people were telling her to end the pregnancy, that if the child had those issues, it would be cruel to bring him into this world. And she felt that it was like some sort of punishment for pushing it, and that maybe she wasn't supposed to have a child. And she was blaming herself, blaming biology. But then I tried to calm her, and I told her that sometimes doctors make mistakes, that she should wait, and if God was giving her the chance to be a mother, she should be grateful. I mean, and I remember telling her, that's your daughter, and you will love her anyways. And I told her, if that soul is coming back to this earth in a damaged body, who will be a better mother than you to take care of that child? So she went quiet for a moment. I even thought that the call had dropped. And so I asked, are you there? And she said, yes, I'm here, and I'm going to have that child. And thanks God, the child was born, and she was healthy, and whatever issue the child had was corrected before she was born. So if she had interrupted her pregnancy, maybe that was her only opportunity to be a mom. And now she's a mom, and she has her awesome girl and everything's going fine. But she could have deprived herself of that just because someone told her that there was a chance that her daughter was going to be sick. She panicked and she was ready to do the unthinkable. We need to be strong when we meet adversity. Problems are as big as we make them. According to some people, the worst that can happen to a person is to die. And well, let me tell you something. We all go through that process. As Sri Krishna told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, death is inevitable for the living and birth is inevitable for the dead. It is my belief that death is nothing but a change of body. Our Atman, our spirit, never dies. You will either come back in another form, depending on your karmic debt, or you go back to the Father in heaven if everything was paid for and you learn all the things that you had to learn in your human form. So problems could be the result of our own actions, or is God teaching you a lesson? If it is product of your own actions, then learn from it. And if it is God giving you a lesson, learn from it as well. I believe that in times of abundance, when we are free of problems, those are times of laziness. When you don't have problems, you get complacent and you just do enough to get by to keep the status quo. So if your problem is big or small, just face it. Look at it in a logical way and remember that we tend to exaggerate our problems. So minimize them and look for a solution. And thank you again for sharing this time with me. And until our next episode, push forward and be kind to others. God bless you.